Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. You've sputtered out there on the.
I'm trying to get you motivated, buddy. You've been on a beach. You've been relaxing.
I'm tired, bro.
You've probably had an adult beverage or two. You've probably got no sleep because you got kids with you. All that kind of good stuff.
We need the weekend. There's no doubt about that. But we're
you're smart to come back though for the weekend. Yeah. By the way.
Yeah, you kind of get recharged.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the SEC Media Days. They, at the end of it, they always vote for like the All-American team, like preseason. Yeah. Not All-American. All-SEC teams. And then they project the ranking, like where the teams will finish. And Auburn had one player on first team. That was Xavier Atkins, which is a no-brainer.
Yep.
Nobody else. And not too big of an argument there. But I think the biggest discussion is Auburn's pick to finish 12th in the SEC.
Or as I told you, fifth worst.
Fifth worst. That is also true. I guess initial thoughts.
Well, first off, on the player side, like you said, no-brainer there. Some of them not a shocker. I'm a little shocked with his height and weight being back that Alex McPherson was as low as he was. I just thought, I don't know if
was
I expected.
He second team or?
He was third team, if I'm not mistaken.
Third team.
I expected it. You know, I don't know about being the best just because he has been ill the last couple of years. But I figured he'd be like second best. And especially with the offense that's going to be provided, I think he's going to have plenty of opportunity to kick either extra points or field goals. So that one shocked me a little bit. As far as the team is concerned, Kyle, what are we doing from a media standpoint? Because you and I have had this discussion about who the best quarterback is. And then we've done the discussion of, you know, when you look at Auburn's schedule, what team is better than Auburn if you line up today? And you've had media members out of Atlanta and Charlotte, North Carolina, and Birmingham that have said, you know, Auburn could possibly get 9 wins. And yet, if you get 8-9 wins, I don't think you're going to be number 12. In the conference.
Yeah. So I'm looking at last year's finish, and that was Kentucky at 2-6. And then Auburn's obviously behind that at 1-7.
Yeah.
So that would mean that they expect Auburn to win very, very few.
Yeah. They expect Auburn to almost go the under on totals.
Yeah, if they finished 11th or 12th in the SEC, that I think they would go under.
So it amazes me that all these people out of media days, Jordan Rogers, Doki Nara, you know, all these talking heads when they were interviewed.
Doki Nara.
Sorry.
That got me.
That's
why did you even attempt that one?
That's his that's his name moving forward, okay?
Hey, Paul Feinbaum. Like don't go with Dari Noka if you don't
Doki Nara, Paul Feinbaum.
Confident.
Paul Feinbaum. They're all sitting there talking about, oh, I could see, you know, Auburn getting 8 wins. I mean, and Jordan Rogers even went with 9 wins. I mean, on numerous Auburn interviews that people did them. So were they just catering to the other media or do they really mean it? Because if Auburn's going to put up 8 or 9 wins, there's no chance they finish 12.
I'm looking at the teams ahead of them. And I mean, I can't argue. I'm not going to ever argue with Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, A&M. Even Alabama, ooh, LSU, Oklahoma.
Doki Nara was not a fan of A&M.
Like going into the season?
Yeah, he did it on set. He even talked about it on Feinbaum when they interviewed him on there. I don't know. I don't know if that's his. I think he went to Oklahoma State, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe that's got
We're
a little
7-1 in conference last year.
I know. Maybe that's
they brought a lot of it back, I think.
I know. I wonder if it's like some bad blood there. He's like, I'm just not buying the A&M hype. And I was like, bro, they went 7-1.
So you got South. Here's where it could get interesting. Florida's at 9, which, you know, whatever. I don't really understand
I don't know why either.
Florida gets so much.
They don't even know who their quarterback is right now.
Then Auburn, Missouri's ahead. I mean, they've beaten Auburn the last several times they've played them. South Carolina is ahead. They were really bad last year. Tennessee is ahead. And I think there's potentially an argument for Auburn. Over, you could argue Auburn over any of those, I think. But I think just all those schools right there ahead of Auburn, except for, I guess, maybe Florida, have had some success in the last 5 years.
In other words, it's not – so you're saying that when they put these together, they didn't do this based on what they think the season's going to play out. They did this based on history.
I think that they – I think that history has to play into some of it, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can completely just wipe the slate clean every single year and not look at anything based off of last year, because –
So when do we change that mindset with the way the transfer portal is handled now than what it used to be?
I don't know. That's a good question. Because I don't think that time cures all. Like you know, we've always talked about, just give us a couple of years. Just give them a couple of years.
No, Indiana's already proved that time doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, and you know, I know that's an anomaly, but I don't think it matters that much anymore. The past shouldn't weigh in. But I guess, yeah, like, it's people that are like, all, if it's like us when, and people that talk about us, it's always like, y'all tell us every year, you know, this is the year. And then,
oh,
you know,
well, that's an Auburn fan.
As if it's our fault. Yeah. So I wonder sometimes if they're overcompensating. Like, let's overcompensate because we went out on a limb last year and said Auburn was a dark horse, or went out on a limb when they brought Peyton Thorne back and said they were going to, you know, circle him with a bunch of talented wide receivers, and they fell on their face. Like, maybe that plays into it a little bit, mm-hmm, where it's like, I'm not going to get burned multiple times. So, and there's nothing on the line here. We don't even know who it was that voted.
Yeah.
But I mean, Auburn's got to prove something before anybody's going to take, like,
give him any credit whatsoever.
Yeah, whatsoever.
And that's me being an Auburn fan, because when I look at this predicted order of finish from SEC Media Days, which I'm assuming it's a lot of the guys that were still there on Thursday where they took a poll, because that's when they do this. That's when they do this questionnaire. I don't think they do it earlier. And let me just tell you, by Thursday, at least the SEC was smart, as they left LSU and Texas on Thursday, so media members stayed just to get that instead of leaving after their program left. But when you look at this ranking, and I'll just go from 9 through 16, Florida ahead of Auburn at number 9, then Missouri, then South Carolina, then Auburn at 12, and then Vandy, Kentucky, Mississippi State, and Arkansas. And I guess it's the disrespect where I see that V right underneath the AU, where I'm like, Pavia left. They clearly don't really have anything right now.
Yeah.
And you're expecting Auburn to basically be neck and neck with Vanderbilt this year. And it's probably more of a personal, it feels more personal than it does if I'm being an unbiased media member. But when I see that, I'm just sitting there going, you know, and you and I have talked about it, Florida's not real sure who their quarterback is. Now, they do have some guys on defense like they kept talking about, but guess who beat that Florida defense last year?
Byron Brown, the guy that's our quarterback.
Yeah. So I think I'd have
Auburn. Do you think this is fair? I probably would take Auburn over Tennessee and over Missouri, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a total homer. So I would actually have Tennessee at 8, Missouri at 9, Auburn at 10, and then I'd have Florida and then South Carolina. You can't put South Carolina.
See, I made it easier than that. I took Auburn from 12 and put them up at 9 and pushed everybody down. Florida at 10, Missouri at 11, South Carolina at 12.
No, I just can't. I'm going to give Missouri a little bit of credit for dump trucking us. Or not really dump trucking us, but just beating us the last two times we faced them.
Drinks got that.
Regardless, it does kind of show you how far Auburn's got to go, man.
I know, and I mean, I know they're not right there. We're not doing this pod, and I'm not sitting here going, this is crap, man. They need to be in the top five. I'm not that damn delusional. Like, I've got it. I know that it just, I don't know what I expected. I expected higher than 12 when I knew these rankings were going to come out. And when I saw the 12, I was just like, holy. Because, I mean, they got it right in the top five, I believe. I don't know about LSU because you and I have talked about it. I'm still not sold on Leavitt. I think the only reason that we've even given him a boost of confidence is because
there are people talking about him. He may still be injured. Like, he may not be all the way healthy.
Exactly. And if that's the case, then they clearly aren't a five because they, I mean, it could get tough for them just at the beginning of the year. And so Oklahoma, I'd even venture to say you could probably put them ahead of both Alabama and LSU. I think Oklahoma's defense is going to be there. Mateer, in my opinion, is a really good quarterback, and he played.
Should be healthy this year.
Yeah, he played hurt, what, 6-7 games last year?
So, yeah, we played him game four.
Yeah, so he played the next, you know, 6-7 games hurt. And so, this could all depend on who was left over that voted in this media poll, for all I know. And I'm not expecting Auburn to be up there in the top five, but I expected them probably to be 10 or higher, I guess is what my expectations were going to be. Just 10, from what we've seen.
10 would have been – I'd have been okay with 10. Not that I want that to be the finish, but going into the preseason as 10, I'd have been fine with that. But, I mean, gosh, I can understand 12. What's crazy is, like, there's really, like, no debate in the top. There's a little bit of debate, like you said, about LSU, but about the top 7 and 8 teams, like, there's some really good teams in the SEC.
That top eight, you could just move around. Like, you may not agree with all of them, but I think the top eight is correct. It's when you move over to column number 2 on 9 through 16 that I think there would be some changes. But,
yeah,
I can't really argue with the top eight whatsoever.
I think Tennessee, I got a feeling about that one.
Yeah.
I got a feeling about that one. I don't know. But I can't do it on a preseason poll based off of a hunch. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that there's reasons behind the way they voted. So, it just goes to show you how bad it's been the last several years and then how far Auburn has to go to earn respect to where you're feared going into a season. I just don't think that's the case right now. So, hopefully that changes and can change really quickly, and we knock Florida's ass off real early in the SEC opener.
Yeah,
week 3, that would be electric. Then you take down Vandy right behind them. You're battling them for the 12th or 13th spot.
Hey, but still, you start out 4-0. That's a good start.
Yeah, and then you go up to Knoxville.
Yeah,
and maybe knock their tails down too, and then you're 5-0 with a bye week. That'd be electric.
I mean, you couldn't ask for a better start if something like that were to take place. I don't know that it will, but that you couldn't ask for a better start. And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be – go ahead and fast forward a year from now, SEC Media Days. I wonder if we still sit at that same spot regardless of the year if we do not prove that we can do something to replace Byron Brown. Because I honestly think that the year goes as he goes, and – if we have a backup that steps up, say he gets hurt or he gets nicked up, or it may even be fun to see the first couple of games if they give him some rest and pull him out, if they don't basically take their foot off the pedal and our backups do just as well, then it's like, okay, so there's a future. It's not just Byron. It's Byron with, you know, other guys behind him, especially with that running back room. I think that can make a huge difference too. So it's going to be interesting to see. 12's a bit low for me, dude.
I feel you. We got to do something about it, though. They got to do something about it on the field. What was your favorite? You liked some of the – there were some of the quotes that you took.
I like the jabs they were taking. And
there's a few that were kind of like roasts.
Two that I didn't see coming was Sumrall, who seems to get his mouth in trouble every time he's up there. And
he's a dork.
I know he has said that he was kidding, and there have been people that have defended him. And then he said, if I'd have embarrassed him, I'd have called his name out. Bro, you embarrassed him in front of his peers. That's almost worse. Embarrassing me in front of a bunch of strangers, I don't care. And sitting me in a room full of you and the rest of my buddies and calling me out, I'd have been like, you ass. Look, what are you doing? So,
did he specifically call, like,
did he look at him?
He knew who it was?
Yeah, he knew who it was. And then he even said, I'm not going to call your name because I don't want to embarrass you. And I was like, well, that's too late. There's a whole room full of reporters.
We're already embarrassed.
Yeah. Like, that's when I would have died. I said, no, go ahead and say it.
It's just like, bro, I'm so hardcore, bro. Like, yeah. You just don't even know, bro. Like, how close you were to getting decked, bro.
Well, and that's what I loved about it. That's the shot I'm talking about, because he said, I almost threw his podium.
Yeah, bro. I'm tough.
And so then Silverfield, when he goes on the final day, he makes the same reference, but in a joking manner, when they talk about his possible record. And he said, well, what's my record against the coaches in this conference? And the reporter goes, 5-1. Yeah, oh, 5-1. I was hoping you'd say that. I almost threw this podium across the room. So yeah. I didn't see Silverfield taking a shot at Summerall, except for the fact that both of them were in, you know, G5s. And so I guess maybe there was a little heated rivalry we may not have known about, you know, yeah, in the previous years. So
they were asking Kirby. This is funny to me. They're asking Kirby about Lane Kiffin, and it was something about Lane Kiffin being a troll. And Kirby said, I don't know that I know exactly what the definition of that is. What's your definition of a troll? And she said, basically, like somebody that likes to stir the pot and, you know, create controversy. He goes, oh yeah, hell, he's that. He's sure that's definitely what he is. And then he says, well, he might say, I look like a troll though.
So, those
kind of likable.
And those who don't know, Kirby and Lane are like best buds. Like they talk. Sure they are. They talk on a weekly basis.
Well,
like
they're on that Bama staff.
Yeah. And so they're super close. As a matter of fact, Kirby has said there's nothing Lane has ever said in a public eye about me that he hasn't said 10 times worse to my face, like when they've been in a locker room or, you know, they were the ones that were on that like golf trip with one another when they saw Saban on the course and they're all trying to hide and all that because Saban was going to be pissed. Like they got a little deep relationship there. But other than that, I didn't really, maybe the Kentucky coach kind of
tooting his own statement.
Yeah, tooting his horn, talking about. I would have wanted to raise my hand and go, bro, the basketball program has better NIL than you do.
He said, what? So they said, how, what makes you so confident that Kentucky's going to have success or something like that? And he said, because of me. Or why will Kentucky turn around and have success? And he says, because of me.
Because of me. It's like Kyle said before. It's no I and team. There's a me, and I love me some me.
Will Stein does. Dude has confidence for days.
He does. Good for him. I mean, he's got that swagger at Kentucky. It ain't going to work out well for him, but and I get where Silverfield was a little defensive, but Arkansas just was what Arkansas has been the last few years. I mean, I think he's got some wood to chop over there in order to get better.
Yeah. Do you think it's – I wonder if you saw what I saw. I feel like Golish was the most unanimously liked across the board. Like, I guess nobody – he was the one where I feel like nobody had anything negative to say. All of them were impressed.
From our guys at Media Days that were down there from our radio stations, they said the same thing you did. They said that everybody – because this was the first time a lot of people got to visit with him. Yes, he's been on staff at Tennessee, but he didn't go to Media Days.
Yeah.
And it ain't like any of our guys covered South Florida's Media Days whenever they were in that conference. So
I hate those guys.
There were two things that were impressive to all the media that were down there. Number one was Golish and his drive and how they said – I mean, even Saban said it. Saban said, I don't know if the success will come this year, but if they will stay the course, that's a guy that really has, like, he used that, you know, that term that we've talked about the culture and about the standard and that kind of stuff. Like, even Saban said that about Golish, said, you can tell that that's a guy that's going to have the standard. Byron Brown was the other, because this was a lot of people's first time seeing him up close. And they were shocked at the size of him because they all thought it was like a linebacker or a defensive end walking down the hallway on digital row or digital drive or whatever they call it. And then as bad as it sounds, the other one that they were impressed with was the good old faithful, as they seemed that they said it kind of scared him the way that Kirby was as calm as he was. They were like, that means he's probably got something special up his sleeve for this year. So he may have gotten some votes towards the top there, because they usually say when he gets quiet and he gets calm, that means that's a confidence within Kirby. So,
well, you know, I mean, they had like six players, I think, on the preseason first team all SEC, if I'm not mistaken. So I think they had the most from what I could, from what I saw, like quickly glancing at it. I could be wrong.
So I think that, I think Kirby knows they have something that could be special this year at the University of Georgia. So that was one of the things that they said that everybody was kind of talking about his quiet confidence, because he wasn't, he jokes around with people off mic and that kind of thing. And he just kind of strolled through it like, this is a breeze. I feel like we got something special this year. And so we should, I mean, because you got to think about all the stuff off the field that Ole Miss is dealing with, LSU is going to be dealing with, just because of all the personalities that go with it. So it's going to be those guys that have been in place for a while that probably have a little bit more of a comfort level when it comes to this season than the rest of them. I mean, Golding, I mean, we didn't even talk about any of his comments. I mean, he made some of the great analogies I've ever heard. He was like, well, would you just quit your job without taking another one?
Yeah.
No. I mean, he
basically admitted to, he admitted 100% to tampering.
He admitted that basically it's been cheating for the last 100 years is what he said in football.
Hell yeah, I cheat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we cheated.
Yeah, we
cheated. Everybody's cheating.
You know what? We've been cheating. I just got caught this past year. We've been cheating. So I don't know why I didn't say that, but that was
Golding was like every guy that you met by like a bonfire while drinking a beer, and like you were just like, "Hey, what's up, dude? I'm so and so." Hey,
my buddy told me that Pete Golding is the little chubby, shorter golfer that wears the visor with the scruff that talks a big game and goes out there and puts up a 92, but still talks trash.
The vanity handicap. He's got a vanity handicap.
Yeah, he got a vanity handicap. That's what he described him as. Is he's like, he goes out there and he doesn't want a lot of extra strokes. You know, he probably plays to more like a 10 or 11. Let's play from the tips. But, you know, he tells you he's a 6, but he's more like a 12.
Yeah.
And talks a lot of trash. And then gives you the excuse 3 holes in. It's just not my day. I don't ever play like
this. I've never played this bad. When he said that, it's worst round in a year. It's awful.
When he said that about Golding, I was like, everybody knows that guy. Like everybody. So it kind of fit the mold from what it seemed like.
Good deal. Our boy Jackson Koivin's in the second to last group going tomorrow.
I know.
If it hadn't been his last 4 holes today to kind of get back in things.
I know. Kim doesn't shoot a 59. He's probably up there a little higher.
Yep. He's at one shot ahead of Scottie Scheffler. So it'd be fun to watch him over the weekend. Guys, we're going to get out of here. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon. War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.